I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Wow, beautiful song. Amen. You want this moved a bit? Come and move it, brother. It's Christmas, free for all. Is that what you wanted? It's good enough? Good? Easy life. Amen. Is it good for you here? This is good? All right. Amen. See, that's a very good song Tori just sang. I'm so blessed by it. Amen. It says, you may ask me why I serve the Lord. And is it just for heaven's gain? Or what?
Or to walk
the mighty streets of gold.
And to hear the angels sing.
Or what?
Is it to drink from the fountain?
That never shall run dry.
Is it to live forever? In the sweet by and by.
But if
heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally,
it's been worth
just having the Lord in my life, living in a world of darkness. You came along and brought me the light.
Living in a world of darkness,
you came along and brought me the light.
Oh,
living in a world of darkness, you came along and brought me the light.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the blessedness of being saved. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, to pay the price for our redemption. And thank you for the blessing of being counted among your children. We pray, Lord, that you bless our time in your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The song says, you may ask me why I serve the Lord. And it says, is it just for heaven's gain? Or to walk those mighty streets of gold and to hear the angels sing? You know, is that why we're serving the Lord? Then he says, is it just to drink from the fountain that never shall run dry? Or just to live forever, ever and ever in that sweet by and by? Then it says, but if heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, he brought me the light. Hallelujah. Listen, if Christianity was not, or there was no heaven in Christianity, this life of serving God is still a better life to live. This life of having Christ in you is a better life. This life of waking up on Sunday mornings and going to church, even if it had nothing to do with heaven, is a better life. Hallelujah. This life of not having to fight, you know, not having, somebody was telling me, who was it? Someone told me recently, you know, he was just walking in town and he met someone he knew in jail, and the person jumped and started fighting him. It's like he used to be in jail with the person, and while they were in jail, they got into some situation, and the person has borne the grudge, you know. And when they both got out of jail, one day he was walking somewhere and then he runs into the person and the fight comes alive, you know. This life of not having to go home drunk, you know, and wounded and hurt. This life of not having to wonder, what will I tell, you know, what can I tell my wife so, you know, I can tell her something that will keep her cool, and I can tell somebody else something, you know. This life of not having to introduce, you know, some strangers as my cousin. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, this life of not having to figure out if the stuff I've got to smoke, whether it's pure stuff or it's just, you know, laced with some stuff that some guy just picked from his backyard. This life of wondering whether the weed I'm smoking is pure weed or is it just the flowers of the tree in someone's backyard. It's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Hallelujah. It's been worth. I think heaven is a bonus. Yeah, heaven is a bonus. The fact that when this is all over, you get to go to heaven is a bonus for being a Christian. Amen. This is a far better life. It's a more peaceful life. It's a more pure life. And it's a more happy life. Amen. And I want to encourage you to hold on tight to Jesus. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to you. Your relationship with God is the most precious thing you have. Hallelujah. It will stand up for you. It will speak for you. It will fight for you. It will keep you encouraged. Amen. Because you know Jesus. If heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness brought me the light. Sing it again. If heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, it brought me the light. Even just to have some light in this world of darkness and wickedness. darkness and wickedness. I tell you, this is a very wicked world. People are so cold and callous. People don't really care about people. Everyone is only interested in what they can get out of someone. And as soon as you can't give what they want out of you, they just ditch you, they toss you somewhere and push you somewhere. You know, yesterday we were on outreach on Skid Row, and I was looking at some of the people. They were already as high as you can get and be normal. And yet there were people around who were still looking to sell them drugs. Do you understand? There are people who are still looking. It's like this person is not destroyed enough. But for a little extra money out of him, you know, I'll still sell him the drugs. Yeah, and we give them these t-shirts, and some people sold them already, and someone had bought his, and he came to show us that he just bought his t-shirt for $5. Yeah. But that's a win-win for us. No matter what happens to those t-shirts, we win. It's just a matter of who is going to wear it. But no matter what happens, we win. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that Jesus is the best thing that could happen to anyone. Amen. And even if it wasn't about heaven, this life of being saved is a better life. Amen. Amen. This life of not smoking, not drinking, and not running around, not going with anyone you meet and not fighting and not doing all these things. This life of even making the effort, at least you are trying. Do you understand? You may not be perfect and you may not have it all together, but at least you are trying, and there's some reason to try. This life is a better life. It's a better life. You know, I was thinking the other day, I've been saved since I was I think I got saved around maybe the age of 12, something like that. But, you know, between 12 and 14, I don't know if it was proper back then. So I like to skip the first 2 years just for miscellaneous Christianity. Okay. And maybe I'll choose maybe 14, 15. Maybe, yeah, you know, but I don't regret a single day. I mean, I don't regret, there's nothing, I don't know what I missed. I never got to go to a club or, you know, and I thank God that he didn't allow me to go to some of these places. Yeah, I never got to go to a club, so I don't even know what they do at a club. It's just I know the place is usually dark. You know, there must be a reason why they want the place to be dark. You get it? Yeah. But all through the rest of my teenage years and, you know, through when I turned 20 in the 20s, somewhere in the 20s, I got married. You know, I got married. Yeah. Next year is going to be 25 years. Oh no, wait. I'm trying to say something. That's marrying. But I'm talking about serving the Lord. Do you understand? It's a bonus. Yes. Yeah. God has been good. Serving God has paid off. It's been worth having the Lord in my life. It's been worth it. Jean-Jacques, it's been worth serving the Lord. It's been worth every single service I've attended You know, every prayer meeting, every sermon I preached, everybody I spoke to, prayed for, encouraged, it's been worth it. It's been worth it. It's been worth it. It's been worth it. And I want to say, Mega, it's going to be worth it for you. Amen. It's been worth it. Yeah. Yeah. When it's all said and done, you're going to find out that your relationship with God is the best thing you ever did. It's the best thing. So don't stop. Don't let anything or anyone pull you back. Don't let anything make you backslide and slide out of Christ. But hold on to Him, DJ. Hold on to Him steadfastly. Be steadfast, be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Always do it more, not less. Be determined. You know, we're just on the threshold of, you know, a new year. And I've been thinking, what am I going to do next year? And I know one thing is for sure, that if God allows me, I'm going to serve Him more. Yeah. I'm going to do more things. Yeah. I'm going to try some new things. Yeah. That must be your mind. Your determination must be that next year you're going to go all out for Him. Not one foot in the Lord, the other foot in the world. You're not in Christ enough to enjoy Christ. Neither are you in the world enough to enjoy the world. Listen, if you're planning to go to hell, then make sure that when you get there, you feel like it's a well-deserved arrival. You get it? That, yeah, I mean, I totally deserve this. You get it? But don't find yourself in hell and feel disappointed. Do you see what I'm saying? But I pray that you value your relationship with God. Amen. That you'll be able to say, like Tori is singing with us this morning, that if heaven never was promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in the world of darkness,
you came along and
brought me the light. If heaven was never promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness,
you came along and
brought me the light.
Come on, sing it to someone.
If heaven never was promised to me, neither God's promise to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness,
came along and
brought me the light. Living in a world of darkness,
came along
and brought me the light.
Oh,
living in a world of darkness,
you came along and brought
me the light.
Hallelujah. You're in the light. Don't go back to the darkness. Amen.
Stay in the light. Tell someone, stay in the light. Stay in the light. Amen. Living in the world of darkness, He brought me the light. Amen. Well, now for some preaching. Wow. Today I'm sharing from others. Amen. Thinking about others this morning. And I want to share from chapter 3. I want to share about 7 things Jesus did for others. Amen. Jesus came into the world to teach us to love others the way we love ourselves. All human beings typically think about themselves. True or false? We all think mostly about ourselves. Even what we claim to be doing for others, we are often doing it for others. We're doing it for ourselves through others. Isn't it? Yeah. Because we're naturally selfish. Isn't it? We're selfish. We think about ourselves. We care about ourselves. We care about our own. We care about what is directly connected to us. And most of us do not really care about what happens to others. Hallelujah. But Jesus came to teach us to think about others. Amen. To think about people other than ourselves. To think about our neighbors. To think about people who are not related to us, people who are not connected to us in any direct way. And that's what Jesus came to teach us to do. Amen. Amen. So number one, 7 things Jesus did for others. Number one, Jesus thought about others. Jesus thought about others. Jesus thought about others. Just to think about other people. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. And Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Amen. Thou shalt love who? Thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. We don't often have a problem loving ourselves. Yeah. So you don't see us, or you don't see the word of God encouraging us to love ourselves. Because that's not something we need encouragement to do. Is it true? That's not something we need encouragement to do. What we need encouragement to do is to be able to go beyond ourselves and actually recognize that others exist. That there are others apart from you. That other people can and must also matter as much as you matter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Jesus came into this world to teach us to love others the way we love ourselves. You know, and sometimes when people have quoted this scripture I just read to you, they quote it, even when they read it or they quote it to justify loving themselves. Do you understand? They say, Jesus said you must love your neighbor. Where is the verse? It says, Jesus said you must love thy neighbor as thyself. It means you must love yourself. Otherwise, you cannot love your neighbor. That's the way it's read. So you can see that our selfishness is applied even to that small window where the neighbor has the opportunity to be loved. Even that has been taken for ourselves. We are amazing, aren't we? Yeah. He said the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see? He said you have to love what? Your neighbor as yourself. It means you have to love yourself first before you love your neighbor. But often by the time we're through loving ourselves, there's nothing left for our neighbor. Isn't it? But it is time to love your neighbor as well. Amen. Your neighbor represents others in your life. Others are the people whom God has called you to care for. Notice what Jesus said about others. He said, love them the way you love yourself. Amen. Amen. Others deserve everything you give to yourself. Others deserve everything you do for yourself. Others are as important as yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, somebody came to ask Jesus. Maybe we can back up a little bit and go to maybe 35. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? I mean, the greatest commandment in the law? Then Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So commandment number one is to love God. Commandment number two is to love your neighbor. I don't know which one or where loving yourself comes. Do you see? But the presumption is that you will love yourself anyway because of the way we are. Hallelujah. You can be a person who lives to enhance himself, to decorate yourself, improve yourself. That is simply a life of self-enhancement. Or you can live a life that is dedicated to helping others. A life of self-love is the lowest kind of love. And it's the lowest kind of life. Hallelujah. You can either live for yourself or to live for others. The most fulfilled people in life are those who live for others. Those who live to help others, to bless others. It is not a coincidence that every job is rewarded or is based on what we do for others. Anyone who ever claimed to have a job did something for someone. Is it not amazing? I don't think it's a coincidence. God is showing us how things come into your life. God is showing us how to bring things into your life. And the basic demonstration is your job. That if you woke up in the morning feeling very healthy and very good and stayed at home for yourself, you get nothing. But if you left your home to go do something for someone, you come home with something for you. So all the things that you want actually depend on something you do for others. And anyone who refuses to do things for others stays by himself, keeps to themselves, and they end up with nothing but themselves. Can you see that? So you see a person who is not even feeling too good, but who still steps out to go do something for someone, still comes home with something. You don't feel too good. You don't feel too happy. You feel like life is happening without you. You know those feelings. Sometimes you feel like life is moving on without you. It's like there's something going on for everyone except you. Yeah. But if you can overcome that feeling and get out of your house and get out of your bed and go do something for someone, go type some letters for someone, go check on other people's temperature when you think your own temperature needs checking. Go do something. Go write some software for someone. Go look after some patients. Go move some beds. Go do this, that. For someone, no matter your state, you always come back with something for you. Because God has set the world up such that when you do something for others, you get to reap, you get to have something for yourself. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the pathway to poverty is to be selfish, self-centered, yes, self-minded, self-absorbed. Bring the words. Anything that is revolving around you and yourself, you should know that this will eventually lead to poverty. You will not have anything. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. You will not have anything. You will not have anything. As long as you continue to make it about you, about you, about you. Some people ask, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? What about you? The moment you turn towards you, your poverty begins. Wow. Amen? Amen. So you are supposed to keep yourself focused on others. When Jesus came, He showed us by His example what He expects of us. Amen. Amen. Jesus thought about others. The scripture teaches us to think about others. The reason why most people do nothing for themselves or do nothing for other people is that we do not think about others. How many people think about the blind? How many people think about the lame people who can't do things for themselves? Few people think about such people. We all are just thinking about ourselves. It says many of those who claim to be making charitable donations and helping society are only trying to get tax exemption and tax breaks for themselves. It's fantastic. So you see, even when they seem to be doing something for someone, you know, It's they're trying to do something for themselves. It is marvelous. People rarely care genuinely about others. It is no wonder our world is being destroyed by 7 billion self-centered, selfish, and greedy human beings who do not care about each other. Now look at this verse, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then after that it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? You know, he said, look not every man unto his own things. Don't, he said, mind your own business is not a good Christian thing, way to live. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Think about the things of others also. Not just your own things, not just your own children, not just your own husband, not just your own wife, not just your own job, but also others. Do others also have jobs? Do others also drive a car? Do others also have this or that? He says we must also be thinking about others. Then he says in the next verse, let this mind, let this way of operating be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? Now look at the next verse. He says that Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, he says, being in the form of God, he thought that if I say I'm God, or if I say I'm equal with God, I wouldn't be saying anything wrong. Do you get it? In other words, if he kept his position, he wouldn't be doing anything wrong. Because that's who he was. Do you see? But then he says, but he made himself of no reputation. Do you see? Yeah, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So for Jesus to come down to this earth as a human being, it cost him something. Do you understand? Yeah, if you had to become an ant, it will cost you something. Now think about it. If you had to become an ant, you have to do away with so many things. You have to do away with your education. You have to do away with your size. You have to do away with your hair. You get it? Your jewelry, because ants don't wear jewelry. Even you have to change what you eat. And you have to change and scale down, you know, from someone who drives on the interstate and start crawling along the walls. So Jesus really lowered himself. Do you understand? But it was because he was thinking of others. Sometimes when you think about others, you have to do things you don't normally do. You have to be someone you typically are not. You have to become something else for the sake of others. Sometimes if you want to think about others, you're going to become someone who is a little more sociable than you really are. If you're thinking about others. I don't know why the preaching is here today. But as soon as I said that, they started flushing me out. Is Robert here? Okay. No, do you understand what I'm saying? That, what was I saying? You may have to be more sociable because of others. Maybe you like to keep to yourself. You don't talk much. You get it? Yes. And you see, sometimes people who don't talk much and who say, I don't want to talk much, I don't want, you know, it's still part of the selfishness. Because what it is I don't want trouble. It's I don't want trouble. They don't even think about what their talking will do for someone. You get it? It's about I'm the one. I don't want trouble. I don't want a problem. I don't want anybody's business. I don't want to be, you know, involved with anything that involves other people and so much trouble. It's all about protecting me. Hey! Congratulate the nearest king me, king me. Yep. Amen. I should stay here. All right. He took upon himself the form of a servant. How many know that Jesus was not a servant? Amen. Jesus came from heaven. He was not a servant. Jesus is served by angels. Do you understand? But he took upon himself the form of a servant. So it's not like you are a servant, but you have to become something, you know, become like that thing so that someone else can benefit. That's the whole point. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And he was made in the likeness of man. You know? And then the next verse. And being found in fashion as a man. So fashion means style. Right? So he behaved like a human being. Do you see? Yeah. So all along Jesus was walking up and down. He was actually just behaving like a human being. Just for our sake, he had brought himself down to our level, do you see, to behave like a human being. You know, sometimes our situations were too tempting. He had to dip into his power. He had to come out of himself and just sort out some of our demonic situations, some of our sicknesses and diseases. He just had to step in, just out of pity. Do you understand? Yeah, he could. At that point, he couldn't hide his identity anymore. He just had to, you know, be himself and just bring healing. And but soon after that, he became like a human again. And he was doing, it says, he humbled himself. So it took humility. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Then in verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore, because of this, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Can you see that? That being selfless and thinking about others, do you see, has led him. It looked like he was going down. You see, it looked, read verse 8. Verse 8. You see, being found, well, maybe before verse 8, verse 7, it says, he made himself of no reputation. So he stripped himself of the reputation of being God. Then went, next line is that he took, no, not next verse, just the next, yes, he took upon himself the form of a servant. Because you see, if you're going to be a human being and you even stay at the level of just a dignified human being, but when you become human and you become a servant of humans, then you've taken two steps down. You see? So he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So he just keeps coming and scaling down. Do you get it? Yeah. Then the next verse. Then being found as a man, he humbled himself. So that's another version of man, because not all men are humble. Do you get it? So when someone becomes a man and becomes a humble
version of man, then that's another two steps. Do you see? And then he became obedient. Because you know that people don't obey. Even stop sign, no. Even stop sign does not get obedience. It's our nature not to obey. So to be a man who is humble and who obeys, that is another level down. Then to obey unto death. Because death is the one thing we all run away from. Isn't it? Yeah, it's the one thing we all resist. We'll resist it with every tablet, any way we can resist it, we'll just resist it. But he was obedient. Death, he said, if death is coming, death is happening to me, it's all right, I'll do it. And he did it. So this is like rock bottom. You can't go down below that level. Then the Bible says, for this reason, verse 9, he says, God also has highly exalted him. It's like, because he went down, 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 down. God has taken him up, 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 up. And has given him a name which is above every name. And then in verse 10, he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. You know, he didn't just come by the power. Can you see that? Yes. And he says things in every tongue in verse 11. It says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. It's a good place to put your hands together. Hallelujah. So God raised Jesus up because Jesus was thinking about others. Hallelujah. And when you think about others, it will cost you. It will cost you something. It will cost you your reputation. It will cost you so many things, just as it cost Jesus Christ to think about us. Can I have an amen? Amen. The second thing Jesus did for others is to come into this world. It says Jesus came to this world for others. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, I am come that they might have. Can you see that? I am come that they might have. Not that I might have. Isn't it? When is the last time you went somewhere so someone else might have? When is the last time you found yourself saying something like, I am come that he may have? Most of the time it's, I am come that I may have. Or even worse, you should come that I may have. Yeah. You should come that I may have. But in the coming year, we're going to think about others. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Starting from this Christmas, begin to think about others. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. See, look at it. It's the thief. The thief, he cometh not. That means the thief will not come unless he's coming to steal. So he's come to steal is to take something. Is to take something. So the thief, his nature is to come and benefit from his coming. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have. Hallelujah. I am come that they might have. Hallelujah. Jesus came so that others might have. Sometimes you must go. This is why we visit people. That they might have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That they might have. You pay the price. You spend the time. You bear the cost. That they might have. That someone will be cheerful. That someone will be encouraged. That someone will feel like they belong. Like someone will feel cared for. Is what you do that they may have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So Jesus came into this world for us. He came into this world and we didn't even treat him good. We didn't treat, from the time he was born, even somebody wanted to kill him. Human beings are wicked. Yeah. From the time he was born, he was a wanted man. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him for his preaching. They wanted to kill him for even doing good. Sometimes he would be in the church and there would be a sick person and there would be people watching to see what he would do. You know, people waiting to see what he would do. If Jesus would heal the person so they can criticize him. And they'll be watching him coolly, just watching and waiting just to see, is he going to heal the person? Is he going to heal the person? Because it's the Sabbath day. They had more respect for the Sabbath day than they did for the humans for whom the Sabbath was made. Hallelujah. Amen. The third thing Jesus did for others. Jesus loved others. Jesus loved others. Most people simply love their husbands, their wives, their children. Some people show great love for their extended families. Some people have a strong and extraordinary love for their tribes or their people, wherever they come from. You know, they are friendly to people who come from wherever they come from. Is it true or not? But Jesus Christ loved the whole world. How many know that the world is not only made up of people who like Jesus? Yes, but he loved the whole world, including the wicked people, including people who are still devoted. Some people have committed their entire lives to prove that Jesus is not real. And yet Jesus came for those also. The church of Jesus Christ is almost destroyed because of the great selfishness that has consumed the prosperous church. The church has become weak because of its selfishness and self-centeredness. And other religions have taken over large sections of the world while the church of Jesus Christ has been reduced to groupings among rich city dwellers. Wow. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Amen. Decide to be a lover of others this Christmas. Amen. Amen. Next thing, Jesus served others. Jesus served others. Jesus did not come to be served. Right? He did not come to be waited upon. He did not come to be glorified and attended to. He came to serve. He came to minister to others. He thought about others and came from heaven to come and show and serve to others God's love and God's power. And this is how our lives must become. Amen. A life of serving others. Serving others is the key to greatness. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Look at this verse. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Wow. Are we followers of Jesus? Is that what it means to be a Christian? Followers of Jesus must follow Jesus and follow his example. What is his example? He says that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came not to be ministered unto, but what? To minister. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came not for people to do stuff for him, but to do stuff for people. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Is it coming home? Is it real? He said, I know that it is difficult to understand how serving others can help solve your personal problems. But it does. It does. Somehow it takes your mind off your own minor issues. And it opens you up to a real world in which people have diverse and unsolvable problems. Thinking about others helps you to put your little problems in the right context. Thinking about others helps you to cut out complaining and whining about petty things. Thinking about others makes you see how spoiled you are. Thinking about others and serving others can be one of the greatest things you ever did for yourself. Hallelujah. Thinking about others. You know, when you haven't seen what problems others have, you kind of feel like you have all the problems in the world. Is it true?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's why when we go out on outreach, you need to come with us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you need to come with us. You need to come with us. You need to see people digging the garbage for food.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes you wonder, because there's food just around the corner, but they still choose the garbage. And then you begin to appreciate that it's more than just not having food. You start to see that something serious is broken. Something is wrong with this person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So then that makes your problem, your little thing, just makes it very small. And you start to see that you really don't have a problem. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You're complaining that you're always eating fried chicken, you know, and you like chicken. You wish you had baked chicken. But some people have no chicken at all. Hallelujah. You're complaining about your car and the rattles in the back. And how the air conditioner doesn't work. And the mileage is too high. Have you seen any of those cars where the mileage has stopped counting? It says, let's quit counting this thing. All right, we're just done. We're done with counting this thing. All right, we're just moving now. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm changing. Hallelujah. Next thing, Jesus lived for others. Jesus lived for others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them
and rose again. Hallelujah. He says, he died for all. He died for all. That they which live, that means those who live out of his death, which is you and I. He said, they should henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. So Jesus died for us to show us that we must not live for ourselves. We must also live for others. Amen. How many are going to live for others? This Christmas, do something for someone.
Amen.
Yeah, not you. I mean, Caitlin has put together this nice thing and she's given all of us people to care for and so on and so forth. But you know, some people are more interested in who picked me and what are they bringing to me. Yeah? You see, it always jumps into everything. Yes.
I wish I'm about to pick my name. Oh my God.
Yeah, some were praying for others to pick their name. Pastor Charles is saying he's been praying that Elpak will pick his name. Doesn't want to be picked by maybe some child, maybe Ava or something. Ava, what is Ava going to bring to me? Ava doesn't have a job. Let's get Elpak. Yeah. Or Pastor Munene or someone. John Jack wants Apostle. Someone wants Maureen. Wants Daniel. Or LP Michelle. Yeah. But this could be your opportunity. Yeah. And I know that she gave everybody a limit on what to spend and so on, but right, well, so this is the computer that gave the limit. You gave the limit. Okay. Yeah. But you can decide that this is my opportunity. This is my opportunity to be a blessing to someone, to make a difference. After I've passed through the person's life, they will feel me. They will feel that I came through. What do you think? Yeah. Don't think about what someone is bringing. Nobody is bringing you anything. Yes. Yes. You're not getting anything from anyone anymore. Yes. But instead, think about how you can be a blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. But just remember the example I gave you at the beginning. Jobs. When people go to work, they have decided that nothing about them matters anymore. They just leave their home. Sometimes they have laundry to do. They say it doesn't matter. They have cooking to do. They say it doesn't matter. They need more sleep. They say it doesn't matter. Isn't it? Yeah. And they go do something for someone about the person, at the person's convenience, and they just focus on that person for a solid 8 hours. And then guess who benefits at the end of the day? They are the ones who come back with the ability to sort all the problems they have, including the ability to pay someone to do your laundry. All the things you left to go do something for someone, you come back with the power to pay someone to do them for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So it's a blessing to do things for others. It's a blessing to live for others. And Christmas is a good time. It's a good opportunity to demonstrate that and to prove that. Hallelujah. So I'm challenging all of you this Christmas to think about others. Hallelujah. Think about someone else, right? The next thing Jesus did for others is he helped others. He helped others. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That Jesus made the effort to go around the world doing good to others and healing others who were sick. And that is a great example of our Savior helping others. Jesus himself was not sick. He was well and he didn't need healing. Isn't it? But he went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus had a good life, and yet he went about doing good to others, trying to give others a good life. So if God has blessed you with life, if God has blessed you with good health, then it is your duty to go about ministering to people who are sick and in need of health. What do you think? It is your duty to go about ministering to people. Don't wait till you are sick before you know how it feels to be sick. But go out and be a blessing to others. Amen. And then finally, Jesus died for others. Jesus died for others. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, it says, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Amen. He said he shed his blood for many. Jesus shed his blood for many. Again, others. Not for us, but for not for himself, but for others. Jesus shed his blood. And sometimes being there for others can be very painful. It's very painful. You literally bleed as you try to be a blessing to others. Yeah? One of the things you're going to find with people is that people are ungrateful. Do you understand? But we don't do things for people based on their response to us. If you judge what you do for people by how they respond to you, you're going to cut it off very quickly. And you will not be able to be a servant of Christ. Do you understand? And the reason why you shouldn't rely on people and their gratitude for what you're doing is because sometimes people don't even know the value of what you're doing. You get what I'm saying? So their lack of appreciation is actually genuine. They don't know the value. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can give a diamond to someone and the person will not even say thank you because he doesn't know it's a diamond. They may even be upset with you that you try to throw a rock at them. And they might pick it up and hurl it back at you. And the reason is because they don't understand what you've given to them. So when people don't know the value of what you've done for them, they respond with ingratitude. And that's why you cannot base what you do on their gratitude or its absence. Because they genuinely, many times, don't know what you've done for them. Do you understand? The other reason why you can't base it on that is because they don't know what it cost you to do it for them. They don't know. That's why Jesus prayed for the people who were crucifying him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's like what they are doing. They don't get it. They don't know. So don't look at people and don't look at how people respond to what you've done, you know, to do or not do. Just keep doing because of Jesus. Do you understand?
Just keep doing because of Jesus. And God himself will reward you. Let's close with one last verse. I think it's Ephesians chapter 6. Are you being blessed this morning? Ephesians. Chapter 6. And verse 8. Ephesians, let's read from verse 7. It says, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Can you see that? He says, you're doing service and do it with goodwill, like you're doing something for God and not for men. Do you understand? Then look at this last verse. This is your Christmas present, this verse. It says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, right? The same shall he receive of the Lord. Can you see that? Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. So God is giving you a chance to choose your Christmas present. If this verse was literally going to happen this Christmas, what would you do for me? Can you see that? But I want you to notice that he will receive it of the Lord, not of the person he did it for. That is why even if you do it for them and they don't say thank you, they don't appreciate it, it doesn't change anything. Do you understand? They don't even have to say thank you. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to respond. They don't even have to notice what you've done. And you shouldn't let that bother you at all. Because it has no bearing on how the Lord will respond to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it should not make you stop doing it. Don't stop. If you stop, you'll be poor. If you let the way people respond to you make you stop doing good, you will end up ruining your life. So don't stop it. He said, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, if it is good and you do it, you will receive the same of the Lord. God will make sure that the same thing comes to you. Amen. Yeah, the same thing comes to you. The same thing comes to you. The same thing. God will make sure you receive the same thing from himself. Not from the one you did it for. So the one you did it for doesn't have to say thank you. Do you see what I'm saying? They don't have to appreciate it. They don't have to know. You don't have to tell the whole story about how you came to be there. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to insinuate and, you know, say different things that, you know, imply that, you know, this little help I'm giving you is really costing me something, you know. You don't have to say all those things. You get it? It's not so easy. This is really tough, you know. You know, it's not easy, like, from heaven to earth, you know. It's not easy. I mean, to come from, it's even risky, right? Yeah, to come from heaven to earth, you know. Huh? If you go and visit somebody, you don't have to say, huh? You know, huh? The traffic. So I'm announcing the traffic so you can appreciate the visit. Even if you walked on the freeway to come, just keep it to yourself. You know, I once went to visit somebody. You know, Kofi, I went with you to go visit somebody in Chicago in the snow. And the guy had told us to come. And it was snowing that night. And we went out to this person's house. He wouldn't open the door. We stayed outside in the cold for about 2 hours because I was determined to see him. He didn't open the door and I wouldn't go. And he wouldn't open the door and I wouldn't go. And we would go and knock every few at it, and we called him on the phone, right? We kept calling and we would go to the door and ring the bell and knock on the door. And he was inside the house. He just wouldn't. You know what's funny? Today that person is dead. Yeah, it's interesting how God can even send someone into your life to be a blessing to you. And you close the door. But I remember that night when the cold, yeah, went in your Honda Accord. Remember? Yes, yes. Yes, we were out there in the cold. Hey, we didn't open it. But we're not supposed to look at such things. If you look at such things, you're not going to go visit anybody. But you will, of the same, receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't regret it. I think I've been blessed so much. Amen. So this is a Christmas for thinking about others. Amen. Do you understand? Amen. Tell your neighbor, think about others. Amen. Don't add me. Don't add that. You see, Jean-Jacques was trying to get Michelle to think about others like him. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let's bring the service to a close. The book is Others, and it's available CLPAC, and get your own copy, and it will be a blessing. Amen. All right, close your eyes, everybody, and let's pray. Just think about your life at the moment and how it is. Could it be that all the things that are absent in your life, the things you'd like to see happen in your life, the things you'd like to experience in your life, could it be that God has placed the key in your hands by giving you opportunity to do the same for others? This Christmas, I want you to make a pledge to yourself and say, Lord, this season I'm going to think about others, how I can help others, how I can make things easier for others, how I can be a blessing to others. Maybe you're going to cook something for someone, or maybe you're going to go visit someone or get someone a present, or just do something unusual that benefits someone else instead of the usual you. Think about others. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pray, everybody, and say, Lord, take away the selfishness and help me to be a blessing to others. Help me to be a blessing to others. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing to others. Not your own comfort, not your own satisfaction, but that others will be blessed.
Watching us online, maybe on Facebook, and you're watching us, and you know in your heart that selfishness has consumed you. But today God wants to set you free, and it begins by asking Jesus to come into your heart. So if you're here or online and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to raise up your right hand quietly, and I'm going to pray with you. Just raise up your right hand right where you are. Just raise it up quietly, and I'll pray with you. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, Lord, I realize my life has been a life of sin. It's been a life that does not please you. But today, I want to turn around. I want to start living a life that glorifies you. I want my sins to be forgiven. And I want to be able to say, like the songwriter, that even if there was no heaven, that this life has been worth living. Living it for you. In the name of Jesus. Is there anyone? God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. Actually, why don't you come over and let's pray together. Let's pray. Let's pray together right here. Let's pray. Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called me.
You have called me. I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go.
Thank you, Jesus. Let's all say this prayer together. If you're online, just join us as we say this prayer together. If you're listening to the podcast, you can also say this prayer with us. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge I am a sinner.
And that you died for my sins.
And that you died for my sins.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
I surrender my heart to you.
I surrender my heart.
And I surrender my life to you, Lord.
And I surrender my life to you.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Take my life.
Take my life.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
To live for you.
To live for you.
Help me, Jesus.
Help me, Jesus.
To live a life that honors you.
To live a life that
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord,
for hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for everyone who has said this prayer with meaning. Meaning it from their heart. Anyone who by this prayer is making an attempt, Lord, to draw closer to you. The Bible says, if we draw nigh unto you, you will draw nigh unto us. So I pray, Lord, that you will help them, Lord, bring them closer to yourself in the name of Jesus, and make their salvation real and complete in Jesus' name. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Sit down there. Hallelujah. Amen. How many are blessed today? How many are glad to be able to think about others? I mean, for once, you're going to do something that has nothing to do with you. Isn't it? Yes. It'll be a blessing. Amen. And you'll find that everything you lose will actually come back to you. Because that's the way we have things. You know what? The reward we get for doing things for people, do you know what it is called? It's called income. Income. Things come in. Do you understand? So the way to earn an income is to do something for someone. Hallelujah. The more you do, the more income you get. The more you do, the more income you get. And God is going to bless you. Amen.